The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to the Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and I am reporting from the greenest front yet. In all my years of doing green shows, I am thrilled to be talking to you from the Optimum Health Institute in San Diego, California. If any of you have not heard of it, you're going to be glad you did, because this place is nothing short of miraculous. They don't claim that at all. But what I have seen just in my 4 days here, I've witnessed people who have had miraculous health turnarounds. And I decided, instead of doing a rerun program today, because I am officially away, not quite on vacation, I'll tell you more about what happens here, that I had to share this place with all of our listeners, and hopefully go beyond even this program, because if I had not seen it with my own eyes, I would not believe that people could come here. And we're going to hear from two women who came here with late stage cancers not years ago, a matter of months ago, and they are not only radiating health and very much alive, but they are leading the morning exercise classes. And I have been a journalist for, well, almost 30 years now, and I know a good story when I see it. So I decided this is news too good, too exciting, too optimistic, too positive to keep to myself. So I am thrilled to welcome to the Green Front my first guest, Dr. Kirsten Schultz. She is the beautiful, bouncy, blonde exercise instructor every morning here. And when I learned her story, I was astonished, and I still am. That was 2 days ago. We were talking at lunch. She is what's known here as a missionary. She is someone who volunteers here and, as she recovers, is helping those of us who are first-timers. This is really a place to improve your health. There are people here who have what they call health opportunities. They don't refer to them here as disease or illness or health problems or health crises, and that gives you a sense of the unique approach that they have here at the Optimum Health Institute. So there are people here with small to medium to large health opportunities to hopefully reverse, and there's also people like me who I think, God willing, I am healthy. I came here to lose 10 pounds, to do kind of a mid-course correction, reset my baseline, as I have said, because I can no longer continue to eat all the food that I love. It's not good for me, and it's not good for my figure, so I needed some, I don't have the discipline, so I decided I need to come someplace where I could, you know, do a raw food diet and a juice cleanse, and that's what we're doing this week, also with lots of educational courses and some exercise classes, to really kind of just see what it feels like to eat very clean, healthy, raw, green food. I've been drinking green juices, and all the meals we've had are completely green, not just figuratively, but literally. The walls are green here. So, and of course, there's a huge connection between what we eat and the health of the planet. So I just thought this was a perfect opportunity. So with no further delay, I want to welcome Kirsten to the Green Front. Thanks for being with me.
Oh, thank you for having me, Betsy. This is quite an honor. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and you are quite an amazing inspiration. If you could just tell us your story, in so much as you're a beautiful, if I may say, I think you're in your early 40s, blonde, fabulous figure. If I saw you on the beach and I saw you at the pool yesterday, I would just say the picture of health. And you are, but that wasn't the case a few months back, is that correct?
No, not at all. I was diagnosed in February with stage 4 breast cancer, and it had metastasized to my lungs and my liver. And I was told by doctors I had a few weeks to live, and I chose not to do conventional treatments, chemo, radiation, or surgery, and I chose to come here. I had heard about it, and I prayed about it, frankly, and I just felt moved to come here, and it's been such a blessing. I came in June, and I came as a guest for 3 weeks, and I could hardly breathe at the time. And as you had mentioned, the missionaries have to work 18 hours, either in the kitchen, exercise, leading exercise, just various jobs around. And it was very hard to do these things. I was in pain and I was traumatized also by what the doctors had told me. And so, being here has been such a blessing because the people here are amazing, and it's a whole, it's almost like this, this other world where people have hope, and you hear people's stories over and over of how they heal miraculously, and you start to change your mindset to anything's possible. And so I after a couple weeks, maybe a month, I had healed from that trauma and started feeling that I was actually going to live. And since then, it's just been, it's been like a roller coaster. It's been tough, but at least in my mind, I know that the journey will end successfully. And I had a CAT scan initially, and it was not very promising. And I had a PET scan about a month ago, and it showed that there was no more cancer in the lungs and the liver. And so it's out of all my vital organs. So it's on its way out. So it's, thank you, God.
Thank you, God, in indeed. What does it feel like, just internally, having been that close to, I mean, here you are just the beginning of your life, to get this, diagnosis, and then to be facing, a long, hopefully, please God, healthy life ahead. I'm sure, and you're a psychologist, and
yes.
So what's that process been like just internally for you, if you could expand a little bit more on that?
It's really interesting because I feel that so much of it has been, and I was never very religious per se, but I feel that so much of the healing has been a spiritual experience for me. And so being here has allowed me to quiet my mind more and just be more within myself. And I realize that that's, I realize that I have to kind of not try to control things as much and go and just let the resistance go. I had a plan in my mind of what I was going to do. At the time, I was in Los Angeles. I was working with clients who were on workers' comp, and it was just a very stressful job working with people who just had been broken by the system, and it was wonderful. It was toxic, and so this. And I wouldn't have slowed down enough to get away from all that and get away from the smog and whatever other toxins were going on, toxic relationship. So this enabled me to get away from all that and just realize that I have another plan. And so now I would love to work with people who are dealing with similar issues and trying to heal alternatively. And so that's actually been such a healing tool for me to be able to have that hope and have that inspiration to be able to use this experience to help other people get through it.
Not only got a second lease, a new lease on life, but a really great specialty for your new career as a psychologist.
Right.
From your card,
right.
You're specializing in cancer and holistic emphasis.
Right.
And it's such a blessing. And I want to know, how much do you think, I mean, they don't have any medical treatment here. It's not like you come here and they perform surgery or voodoo or anything like that. It's really healthy living. It's classes. It's learning how to live without stress and being positive in your daily life. How much of it, any sense of how much is the food, the actual, eating just very clean, raw food? And part of the program is, again, just for juicing. I'm in the second day of a juice fast. And strangely, not hungry. I've had a few moments, but it passes. And we're drinking, a meal that's 100 calories, I've heard. And so I'm consuming 300 calories a day. I'm not hungry. I feel fabulous. I don't know what they put in that juice, but I think it's things we probably could make in our own kitchens. So how critical is what we're consuming?
I think it's extremely critical, and I think the wheatgrass is a huge part of it.
The wheatgrass. How could I not have mentioned that?
Exactly. I mean, that's our mainstay here, and it's like medicine. It's got so much chlorophyll, and I think it also helps to balance the appetite so you don't get as hungry, and the probiotics as well, and just like you mentioned, eating the raw organic food and the juicing. We juice for 2.5 days out of the week, and that it's so crucial in that it allows the body to just get a rest from digestion and use that energy to heal whatever needs to be healed. So I think that it really is about energy and utilizing all the energy that we have and slowing down and they emphasize not, you know, disconnecting from the outside world and allowing yourself that time to use the energy for yourself and to heal.
We have a wheatgrass room here, and as I was running around deciding to do my program today and setting it up with the front desk, they've been very accommodating. I said, I need my coffee. That's what I'm usually doing a half an hour before my show. And I said, oh, go get a shot of wheatgrass. And I feel better, more clear-headed. And then just before I came in to do the program, we were in a mental detox class, and I was going to leave. And she said, no, let's do a little meditation. And I stayed for that. And this is a much healthier way to feel mentally and physically at your best. And I'm a believer now. I never knew what all those people were, you know, in line for their wheatgrass shots at Whole Foods. I mean, I knew it was healthy, and I knew it was, you know, a very green thing to do, but I didn't quite realize the miraculous natures of this particular grass. And by the way, they have sort of a wheatgrass greenhouse here, and it's the fifth largest in the country, so that's how much we consume here, because we don't just drink it, we do something else with it. You want to talk a little bit about that without getting too graphic here on the video? Luckily, it's not TV. We don't have to worry about that.
Yes, no visuals here, but you can imagine in your mind, we take the wheatgrass from both ends, you might say, and we do part of the cleansing process is doing colonics and enemas, and after we do that, the body is a little bit depleted of electrolytes and some minerals. So what we do is implanting the wheatgrass up there and trying to hold it for a few minutes, and it goes right to the liver, and it's very cleansing and powerful. So that's part of their process. Another 101 uses for wheatgrass, huh?
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that most people, when they hear about it, they've never done colonics or enemas, and that becomes just very common conversation around here. So forgive me, I hope I'm not shocking anyone. But you think about it, you know, yeah, we're a little squeamish, and it's not a, you know, process or part of our bodies we normally want to deal with, but it's our body, it's our temple, it's our only body, and it's about optimum health. And so, you know, maybe a little bit messy the first time, and then you get over it, and you make a lot of jokes here. And if anyone, you know, might be considering coming, and I'm not doing a commercial, I promise, but don't let that stop you, because I was not sure I wanted to do that, but you get here, and it's just what you do. And you can either continue doing that, you know, when you leave here or not. But it really is also, I think, a key component of this immersion process. And people come here for the first week, and there's classes for first weekers. And then you can come back for a second week, and it's a different set of classes, but same diet, basically. And then third week. And there are people here, I've met people who have been coming back every year, every 6 months. And that says a lot about this process. It works. It makes you feel terrific. And I know, again, I'm someone who doesn't, you know, have that kind of discipline at home. And, of course, the challenge is going home and eating this way, continuing this lifestyle. But I certainly right now feel absolutely committed to not doing all of it. Nobody can do all of it like you do here. But even 50%, what a difference that would make. And a lot of it is just knowing how great it feels to eat this way. And the reason I'm doing this program, one of the reasons is, of course, the average American diet, the you know, meat-based diet, which is very resource-intense to raise cattle, for instance, is hugely detrimental to our planet to the CO2 in the atmosphere, and so it's just not a good way to go forward. We need to all be meat reducers if we're not vegetarian, not only though for the planet but for our personal health, and that's the nice thing is it impacts both, and so that's why I feel this absolutely fits right into what we do on the green front. And of course there is a strong connection to how we are taking care of ourselves and how we are taking care of the planet. I wanted to ask you a couple more questions, but I just have to quickly tell you an anecdote. My next door neighbor is a nice fellow named Lonnie. He's large. He's kind of stocky, I would say. And when I learned that about a year ago he was run over by a 20,000-pound truck, and save for someone pulling his upper body out from under a wheel at the last second, he wouldn't be here. Well, he has spent the last year recovering from multiple fractures to his pelvis, to his back, to his legs. He looks fine now, and he's walking and talking. He didn't recover here, but he came here to really start a new way of living. And he's from a small town. I think he said there's like 2,000. Well, there were 100 people where he grew up, and it was all, you know, people got their meat from hunting. It's, I think, a small community in Wyoming. He now lives in a small city, 2,000 people, and I was talking to him in the hot tub last night, hearing about how, you know, transformed he feels already, and, you know, real macho kind of guy. And I said, so what do you think of the yoga? He said, that's my favorite part. I said, so you're going to do yoga when you go home? He said, there's no place in my town that has yoga. I said, well, maybe you should open a studio. He said, I may have to. That's the kind of transformation. He said he was raised on meat and potatoes, you know, they're hunters. And he said, and now he's really enjoying this diet. So I love that. I just love that you can see people from, and people are here from all over the country and even beyond, from around the world. So, Kirsten, tell us a little bit more about what you plan to do from here. Are you planning to stay a long time going forward, or are you almost wrapping up your tour of duty?
Yes, this is my last week, in fact. And it's, like I mentioned, it's been amazing, but I think I am ready to move forward, and I'll be staying in Northern California for a while, and, you know, like as I mentioned, hopefully getting my practice going there.
Do you feel like I do? Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Do you feel like I do that? This is a nonprofit, non-denominational institute here, and while they are definitely, you know, dedicated to educating and transforming people's lives, they don't, I don't know if there's a reason, I have to find out more, do any active advertising. It's word of mouth, and they're almost filled up every week of the year, and they also have a second campus in Austin. I just feel like somebody should come and invest a lot of money and expand to every state in the country. That's just me talking, not them, but I just feel like it's almost a crime to not have this kind of program, you know, accessible to more Americans, given the obesity and the cancer epidemic that we have. And you I think said you, oh no, it's Peg, our next guest, lives in San Diego, and she wasn't even aware of this, and they've been here for 35 years. Wait till you hear her story. So if you're lucky, you get the word of mouth, but I wish we could do more to get it out
also.
There.
I wish as well, and I think that given the state of our medical system, it's a shame. I mean, I think that, as I mentioned before, when I was being treated by conventional doctors, they didn't offer any other alternative healing ways to go, and so I had to research on my own. But it's radio shows like this and you know, this type of advertising that they depend on. And I think a lot of it is they are a threat to the medical system.
The medical system will survive, unfortunately, in its current state. That is the think in the medical community. The thinking is, you know, just Western medicine prevails. And there is more, you know, there are more practitioners, I think, they were offering, you know, either some practices from Eastern medicine or incorporating the two holistically. And there's at least where I live in the Bay Area. I don't know, where were you diagnosed and treated?
Initially in Los Angeles and then San Diego.
So you were not in some small town USA where they couldn't offer you much. You're in a metropolis and where they see cancer all the time, and you're saying that there was really only one course made available to you.
And correct. They literally thought I was suicidal coming here.
The Is that what they told you, that you were suicidal coming here?
Yeah, they said that. They said, you're going to die if you come here and if you don't do our treatment. But we can prolong your life maybe by a month or two.
But we can prolong your life maybe by a month or two. But if you go there, it's suicide. I think you should write a book. I think you should get up on the rooftops and shout. This is really, like I said, I'm a reporter, newswoman. I know a good story when I hear it, and this is something that can save lives. It can impact people's lives. So I've got a big mouth. I don't think they can stop me from spreading the word myself.
I love it. You're beautiful. Thanks.
Oh, well, you're going to do the same. I mean, make this your specialty.
I absolutely will. Absolutely.
Maybe we can work together back up in the Bay Area on that. You said when this diagnosis happened, you were about to enter the military?
Yes. I was applying to the military to be a psychologist, and yeah, I guess in a way it was fortunate. I was able to find out through their tests, their physical. But
otherwise, you would not have known that you had breast cancer?
That's right. That's right.
Wow. And were you getting regular mammograms?
No. I haven't, because I just don't like the radiation. I don't like the squeezing and the.
It's not much fun. And you're young enough, you don't have to get them every year. But had you had any prior to that as a baseline?
I had, and I did. I mean, I did know I had a lump, but I was trying to, and I was healthy at the time. And I think I had mentioned I did get a needle biopsy, and I think I personally feel that that contributed to it spreading faster because it disrupted the cancer. So, you know, but then again, I wouldn't have known, so I don't know. It's hard to say what the best course of action is in that case. But
So the military saved your life?
They saved my life.
In an unexpected way.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not planning to go into the military? You're going to stay out in the civilian world, spreading the word, I hope, doing good work? Isn't it funny how life works?
That's it, and that's what I was saying. Just, you know, just go with it, and I'm just trying not to resist it. I was planning to stay in San Diego, but I was called to Northern California for personal reasons, and I'm just, again, I'm just going with it and embracing it. And I think I am looking forward to working with you up there and just trying to get the word out.
Fabulous. And you've got your wheatgrass machine. I'm sure that's key to the recovery.
Absolutely. Got it ready, polished, ready to go.
And it's not so hard to grow. They're going to teach us how to do that in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
And also, you know, again, just how to take this program home with us. So I really appreciate your being with us, Kirsten. Any final thoughts?
Just, you know, like I mentioned, a big part of it is the mental and the attitudes of people, and if people can remember to just believe that it's possible, that anything's possible, and if people are telling you otherwise, then just focus your attention on those that have the hope, and surround yourself with people who believe that you can do it, and I believe that ultimately the world will change for the better, and you'll be part of the ripple effect.
We can hope, and it really is what I learned. You know, we've all heard about, you know, power of positive thinking and affirmations and visualizations, and I've been, you know, so at doing that in my life. It's easier, you know, to hear that in a class, and a little bit more difficult sometimes when we're going through a tough time, and who doesn't, to remember that. But I just learned something that I will never forget, and that is that thoughts, be they positive or negative, actually affect us at the cellular level. In other words, if we can, and the teacher just took us through, you know, an example of that, you know, think about a lemon, tasting a lemon, and you start salivating. Your body is feeling, you know, what it's would be like to taste that lemon. That's an imaginary experience. You're not actually eating that lemon. And the same thing, we all know what it feels like if somebody, you know, talks, you know, bad to us, or we, you know, use words we shouldn't use, especially to our loved ones. And it does something in our bodies. It's like a cringe. And I feel it. And then the opposite, when somebody says something nice to you, or just the high you get when you listen to music, or you see your child or your pet or your close friend, and you actually feel it on a visceral level. So when you think about that, and that we're either causing damage, or we're either making ourselves smile or get sick, that's my interpretation, with every, you know, thought that we have, it really is important to think positively, and it does probably, I'm now a believer in miracles, so energetically it is something that we need to put out there for ourselves and the world. But we just can't afford to have those negative thoughts. I mean, I knew that it was not good for my mood, my attitude, my outlook, but I really until now didn't understand that it's actually making me sick versus making me healthier. And so that's a huge bit of advice that I will take away from here, not to mention I think I'm about 5 pounds lighter, and it's only day 3. The key, of course, is taking it home. But the habits are, it's more about health than what we look like, but that's not a bad motivator either. But you have the ultimate motivator, and that's to keep your life healthy and long, and your strength and your beauty and your story are just so inspiring. I really appreciate your being with us.
Thank you, Betsy. Thank you for having me. It's been a blessing. Thank you.
And I'll see you at lunch.
Sounds great. We'll see you soon. In the wheatgrass room.
See you in the wheatgrass room, exactly. Dr.
All right.
Kirsten Schultz is my first guest. She is a clinical psychologist who, if you joined us mid-segment, came here after doctors told her to basically get her affairs in order, and she was told she had just a matter of months to live, and that if she went to something like the Optimum Health Institute, where I'm reporting from in San Diego today, that would be akin to committing suicide. Well, she listened to her highest self, and she got herself here, and she has seen clinically with medical tests, traditional medical tests, seen her tumor that began in her breast, which had spread, come back into her breast, and that's where she wants to continue to do this work and get rid of it altogether. But it's been documented, folks. Didn't make this stuff up. Can't make this stuff up. I want to tell you that in just a couple minutes after our break, I will be bringing in another guest, equally miraculous, equally inspiring. This is The Green Front. I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and in just a few minutes, you'll meet Peg, and your story will give you goosebumps, I promise. We'll be right back.
You are listening to PRN.